Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the Piano Podcast. I'm your host, Garrett. So that song that you just heard there was Rachmaninoff's Etude Tableau. I believe is 6-1 in A minor. So you were able to hear the song for a bit. If you were at Anchor, Anchor is not sponsoring this episode. I don't have any sponsors yet. I'll have to get some soon. But Anchor is the app that I'm using to record some of my podcasts also. So far, the first episode is on a whole bunch of apps, including Podcastage and Spotify and Google Podcasts. So you should check that out. It's going to be on other apps like Apple Podcasts soon. And hopefully, we can get all the apps. So today, you would think that I would talk about the three dances, because that's what we did on the last episode. But I'm not going to talk about that today. And I know you guys are probably upset, but I want to talk about something that I think is more interesting than that. And I promise you guys we'll talk about the episode, the three dances, in the next episode. So today we're going to talk about a instrument that is old, very old, you know, 1600s, 1700s, early 1700s, is the harpsichord. And I want to show you, I don't know any harpsichord specific pieces, but I can just give you the sound of it. So once again, my podcast is on Anchor, and it's a very good app, and I love it. It helps me distribute my podcast, and it's been really cool and fun to use so far. So let's put the phone on the speaker for my keyboard, and let's get going. So yeah, there you go, and the microphone's here, and the phone's here, so. Now we should, now let's do this. So, the harpsichord, this is what it sounds like. That is the harpsichord sound. Now, the key that you thought I could be playing it in, the key was A minor. Now you're probably thinking, wait a minute, isn't A minor supposed to sound like this? But you'd be right, but during the days of the harpsichord, there was a different tuning system. Oh, this stupid fan is like really loud. All right. Oops. Oh, wait. Sorry. I accidentally turned off my keyboard because for some reason one of like the outlets in my room, the outlets are like connected, so like the keyboard shuts off and the room shuts off. This is pretty cool. But aside from room difficulties, the tuning system of the old days was that a typical note was flattened, practically. So, this is supposedly the key of A major on a normal piano, right? But if you go to the harpsichord, I mean, that's A major, like, tuned correctly, but if you use the correct Baroque tuning, you would get that sound. It's flattened. That usually is A flat major, and then it's G major, F major. So some of your most famous Baroque pieces are written in a different flat key. Bach's Prelude in C major. I used to play it a long time ago, but I haven't played it in a while since. So if we get my hair out of the way. So if we play it. Thank you. Yeah, that's Bach's Prelude. Number one is C major. It's one of his most famous works. Often played at weddings, often played in a lot of places. And it's actually supposed to be written in the key of B major, which is what you heard. Yeah. So it's flattened by one, then a normal, typical keyboard, piano. So a lot of the tunes, Baroque tunes that you're used to, it's actually not in that key. For example, the canon, D major. I haven't played the piece in a while, but I used to be able to play it really well. But yeah, so the canon in D major, this is what it sounds on a normal, typical piano. Nope, we're still tuned, because I have to like physically change the tune. That's how it sounds on a normal keyboard, but this is Baroque tuning, so we have to flatten it. But aside from that, what else can I really say about the harpsichord? I think I'm actually gonna we'll talk about the three dances. But the harpsichord was a very interesting instrument. Instead, why it sounds different from a piano, for example, is because in an acoustic piano, the strings are hit with a hammer. And so that makes it a percussion instrument. But at the same time, it's also a string instrument, because it uses strings, obviously. Harpsichords, they're not percussion instruments. They're mainly string instruments. And so, because in harpsichords, they pluck the strings. They don't hit it with the hammer. They pluck it. So that's what gives it that teeny, like that weird feeling. I'll play that full piece later. It's not something I really, I'm just going to improvise. And that's another thing I'll discuss in another episode. I kind of want to keep it on track. I don't want to talk about too many things. Because then I'll run out of episodes to do. And that will really stink. The harpsichord was a very innovative instrument for its time. It was basically the father of the... It's the grandfather of the modern piano. Actually, you know what? Let's just talk about the evolution. That'll kill some more time. So, we're gonna start off with an instrument that's a bit older than the harpsichord. It's the clavier. Clavichord. This is what it sounds like. It's still in Baroque tuning. You have to still remember it's still Baroque. So stuff like that, and it was just improv. The clavichord was before the harpsichord, and it did a similar thing where it plucked the strings. I don't really know that much about the clavier, so it's a clavichord. It's a very interesting instrument. Now, let's see, is there another clavier? This is a more historically accurate sound. And the clavier was a, it was an old instrument. I keep saying that, I'm trying to think of stuff to say. It's such an old instrument I don't really know about. There's other stuff you can look up on YouTube and other sites where like Wikipedia or Google, where you can, you know, look that stuff up. So Bach was the one who mainly popularized the clavier and the harpsichord. He mainly used a harpsichord and organ. Let's talk about the organ, first one, church organ. Oh yeah, and Baroque tuning, the famous Dracula song is actually like this. And so on and so forth. Sure if organs were tuned specifically. It could have been like, but I'm gonna just assume that's tuned, but you guys can try to let me know in the YouTube. The first episode isn't out on YouTube right now as I'm recording this. I've recorded the last episode, I believe, on Friday. Yesterday was the 21st. So around the 18th or 17th, I recorded the first episode. I'll try to upload the first these episodes on YouTube, and oh, my phone is running out of battery. Let me charge that. Let's discuss more about the organ was a very famous church instrument, obviously. It goes without saying. Very, very popular. And I've always really liked the organ. I never played it because I kind of don't really have a need to play it. Let's see if I can plug the USB for my phone in the charger. Sorry if this podcast is very boring. I didn't mean. I just got an idea. Oh, nice. It's charging. Awesome. Oh, wait. Let me just... Alright, cool. So, let's see, what else can I discuss about the, organ? Not much. Just Bach and Handel play the organ very frequently. Don't know the Hallelujah tune, so, But, as you move on for that, we get older, we get to the harpsichord, and let's go to the harpsichord again. So, yeah, basically, we already discussed most about the harpsichord. So, interesting fact. Let's go to the piano forte. This is honky-tonk, but let's go to, So, let's go, to the piano forte. Interesting enough, here's a neat little factoid. Bach played the harpsichord, piano forte, and he said he didn't really like it because he thought it was, like, too heavy, and that that was mainly the reason, but he also just didn't really like the sound of it. But, the piano forte, I like it, but it's kind of cloudy, so if you just, And so, the tuning is still the same like earlier, but later pianofortes are, tuned correctly. And, Bach did not like that. Mozart did. He used this instrument for his piano concertos, and he used it a lot. Oh yeah, back to the harpsichord for one more moment. Bach also did concertos, if you guys were not aware of that. He did harpsichord concertos, and his most famous one is, movement one of his first concerto. Yeah, and the actual tuning, it would sound like this. So on and so forth. So all these years pass, people use the piano forte and the normal piano. Normal pianos are starting to become like, a thing, people like Liszt and Beethoven and Schumann and Schubert, all those people from the Romantic period. And now we are pretty more modern. So this is the time where we're in the late 1800s, early 1900s, like 1890s and 19... And this is the period where we enter ragtime. And ragtime is a pretty, good... important chunk of music history, but to many American history, and so luckily for this keyboard, it's a honky tonk. So this is what they will play at saloons and stuff for ragtime. Yeah. That's a movement of one of my other works, the Piano Suite Number 1. I'll analyze that thing and just I'm not gonna play it, but that is the Cakewalk movement, the final movement. It's all the music is based off Debussy, and so Debussy actually did Cakewalk and he did Ragtime. Well, only Cakewalks, not Ragtime, and the Gollywog's Cakewalk, and he actually wrote another Cakewalk, but it's very unknown. And, it's okay. But Gollywogs is the best. But this is how the movement starts. It's not high enough. Also, sorry for the loud, I think there's a gardener out there, but... Thank you. goes on and so forth. So now we're in the 1910s, era of Gershwin. And this is where we get the modern piano. We get some uprights. This is where we get introduced, like, uprights and, like, stuff like this. I don't really know how to play Rhapsody in Blue. I'm way too not advanced yet. I'm, like... My level is like an intermediate, late, like, towards, starting to get towards late intermediate, early, like, I'm around that point. Okay, sorry. I really apologize for the loud voices, the loud noise, and I don't mean to do that. Alright, so, let's see, what can I say about it, about, anything else? Let's see, so, other than that, that's really it, like, the classical era. Now let's go to more, like, modern stuff. So, around the 1950s and like, 60s and 70s, we get introduced to synthesizers, and, Twin Stein is my favorite. Whoa, oops, I knocked my microphone, I apologize. I have two, like, the ones on YouTube will have my microphone, and they sound relatively the same. My phone is the same exact microphone as this. Only this one has a pop filter and stuff like that. And I'm very proud of this microphone. But yeah, like, the part of it that broke, like, some of it, hopefully the microphone still works and it's still plugged in. I don't know how it broke, but it did. Hopefully I won't have to get a new mic, but if I do, hopefully I'll get a better kit with, like, not just a, tripod, but, like, there's a kit that was, like, $30, but it has, like, everything, and it's really cool, and, actually, I already have a microphone, it's an XLR microphone, I just need, like, an adapter to 3.5mm, and I think I'll be good. So this is where we get introduced to synthesizers and stuff like that you can play, and it's really interesting. Then after that, there's one more thing after that. You get pads, and so pads are like more ambient sounds. So that is basically it, folks. That is the end of the road for the history of piano. And it's pretty short history. Mainly the first instruments were like string instruments. I don't really know what the first instrument was, but yeah. So let's get on to classic piano. guys. So we're going to talk about the second movement of the Three Dances Suite. Yes. Now I will do that. So this is a very content-filled episode. I wish I had my normal piano. I mean, I could, but I don't feel like moving all my stuff, so when I'm here, I wouldn't be able to give you the harpsichord sound, so pretty cool. So I'm going to, remember, this all has to be like an octave higher, and like some things have to cut because then it'll be too high, and I don't mean to like try to make life harder for myself, I just do. Anyways, so I'm going to play the opening movement, opening bars of the Arabesque. Arabesque in E major, inspired by two things. One, Debussy's Arabesque in E major, and second, a song that's in the Peanuts, you know, the... the Peanuts, you know. So, it's called Skating, and it's like... And it has, like, that rhythm. And so, it is like a jazzy waltz. It's a jazzy waltz, like another work of his, the Vince Guaraldi, that's the person who wrote the Peanuts music, the Great Pumpkin Waltz. So let's listen to the opening bars of my Arabesque. So I'm going to start off where it actually starts off in the piece, and I have to go up rather than go down. So let's turn up the volume a bit. Alright, that's a bit medium. Let me get my glasses on, because this entire time I haven't been wearing my glasses. Alright, this is the microphone picking up decent levels, and let's play. I don't like the sound, sorry guys, I need like a, you know, good but bright piano. Decipher that, and it kind of repeats and it goes off to like improvisational things. I need to write the music down. I'm sorry I haven't done that yet. I'm doing that currently, and so let's analyze. So the beat is, so let's get a metronome out from the menu. If anyone's curious, the keyboard I use is a Roland BK5. It's a very good, it's a very wait, rhythm composer. No, no, no. Let me just perform global. So I'm trying to find the metronome. This is so weird because I know there's a metronome here. It's so weird because I got. Whoa, you could change the tuning. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Wait, oh, alright, let's go tuning. And let's do right now it's 440. So we're gonna do baroque tuning where it's like 415. Actually no, I don't feel like it. Let's do 432 hertz. This is what everyone says. Oh, it's like mind, like spiriting, and whoa, that sounds so weird. So cool, but 432 hertz does not do any of the stuff they advertise, and it doesn't open your third eye, doesn't do anything, it does nothing. It's not, let's go 415 hertz. Let's try 420. Yeah, 420. Some people say that, oh, 420 does anything. Let's do 415 hertz. Oh, so you can't go any further back than 415. So, 415.3 is baroque tuning. We're gonna do 432. Like, I mean, personally, I don't mind the sound. Like, it sounds weird. Like 432. 432 sounds weird, you know? There you go. There's metronome. Off of the metronome. Stop. Stop it. Alright, so, the metronome. So, let's forget about the metronome. So, let's try to tell the difference between, four different types of tuning. I'm gonna play one piece by Schumann, little song. It's a little baby piece. It's a piece by Schumann for album of for the young. And I'm gonna play it four times. I'm going to play it with normal tuning. Wait, a performance date? I need to figure out global. Okay, tuning. Alright, so let's go back to 440. How far can you go up? 466. Oh, let's just go up some more. Okay. So let's go 440. Let's try 450. Some people say 450, like, 2. So some orchestras do 452, I was like 458. I'm like, well, why? .452 is such a weird combination. So we're gonna do from 5 pitch tunings. We're gonna do 452, 440, the way it's normally supposed to be, 432, 420, and that's it. Let's do it. With 420. Alright, so here we go. 452 hertz. So, before I start, one of the interesting things about this tuning, it's a combination of both keys. So it sounds really weird, and I really like how it sounds, so we're gonna play it. Oh, like that. I just explained. Sorry, so let's do it. So that's with 452 hertz tuning. It sounds very weird. Also, like the 440. Sorry, I just kind of drifted off there. Alright, so let's go to 440 hertz. And let's see how, instead of 452, let's compare to 440. Not 440%, 4.0. There you go. So that's the piece in 440. Let's go down to 432 hertz and let's see the difference. Here we go. Sure if I did the second repeat, but let's hear it on the last time, but we're 30 now, we're gonna hear it the last time but at 420 hertz, and so then that'll be it. From the top, sorry guys. Here we go. Oh, why am I keep making mistakes? All right, last time. Here we go. Obviously, if you're not, then you are tone deaf or you can't hear it all. And if you can't hear it all, then I don't know why you're watching here listening to this podcast, but thanks anyways. That is basically it. Thank you guys so much for watching this podcast. I was like doing go and do this outro thing. It sounds like this. Same like that, but instead, I'm going to leave you out with a new piece of classical music every end of episode and every beginning of episode. So, thank you everybody so much for watching this podcast. It means a lot to me that it means a lot to me that there are people who actually like and enjoy my podcast. Hopefully there's people. Alright, so thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I will see you guys in the next episode, where we will actually analyze the three dances. And, so I'm going to leave you guys out with some Paganini. This will be, this very famous 24th Caprice, the variations. So, thank you so much for watching, and I will see you guys in the next episode of the Piano Podcast. Thanks so much.